is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. 1 hour down, one to go. Fun first hour. We do have a fun second hour on deck for you guys as well. 30 minutes from now, our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSIN Tonight, also the co-host of the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast. He will join us in 30 minutes to break down his NFL and college football card. He does have a play in Cowboys-Eagles. We'll ask him about that as well, and he has a lot of plays in the big college football games that we have coming up later on this afternoon. But Michael, before we go any further, let's get to the Lombardi look ahead, and we always start off with the game that you want no parts of, and it appears to be once again with the Houston Texans.
Well, I mean, this is an interesting game, right? Because CJ Stroud, I think when you go, and there's always perceptions, and everybody's reaction in the betting market is, what have you done lately? You know, what's your last game? And then if you play well at any point, everybody just assumes you're playing well all the time. And that's not necessarily the case. That's why I brought up Tony Pollard to Brian Broaddus in the last block. I mean, when you do Tony Pollard's numbers, that's not Tony Pollard from last year. 5.2 yards a carry down to 3.8. Doesn't make, you know, one of the worst, 32nd in the league in yards after contact when he was the second best last year. So there's a lot to that. And I think you have to kind of break the teams down in sections, four games. And when you look at CJ Stroud, you know, early in the season, man, he was really good. Really good. Came in. But there's always the turning point. There's always tape, right? And so people start to see how you're playing, what throws you like to make. I was talking to somebody yesterday in the league, and so much of playing quarterback in the NFL is like being a shooter in basketball. Where do you want to throw the ball? Where do you want to take your three-point shot? And people have to start to say, okay, we're going to take that away from you. So for me, in the last three games, CJ Stroud, you know, has not been as good as he was early. He's averaging 6.3 yards per attempt. He's thrown three touchdown passes. He's only thrown one interception all season long. But this offense hasn't really been able to get going because they can't run the ball. And Damian Pierce isn't going to play this weekend against a good Tampa Bay front who has Vita Bay returning back. And he makes all the difference in the world to their defense in terms of clogging the middle. So I worry about the Houston Texans offense. I worry about Baker Mayfield, who he and Josh Allen have tied for the most interceptions thrown in the National Football League over the last five seasons since they've came out. So, you know, I worry about Baker. I worry about him getting balls tipped down. And the Bucs defense has allowed over 400 yards the last 2 weeks and 45 first downs. So to me, this is a conflicting game on both sides. Right? It's 2.5. It's moved back down to 2.5. In the Russo contest, it was at 3, so I violated my own Hall & Oates theory. I kind of took it just because I think it's a good number at 3. Yeah. But it's really a game I would recommend that you just cue up Daryl, cue up John Oates, and just don't go for it.
There we go. The official Hall & Oates play of the week, Buccaneers and the Texans.
Can't go for that. No can do.
Love hearing that every single Saturday. No can do. Look at you. I hear grabbing numbers. Say, I take the 3. At 2.5, we lay off. I like it. Look at you.
Well, I mean, look, 3, you know, it's and look, I like Houston's team. I really do. You know, now, okay, is Will Anderson playing good, Femi? Let me ask you that question.
Well, his pressure numbers are really good, but the sacks haven't been there.
He's got 8 quarterback hits.
That's not good.
These pressure numbers, I don't know where they come from. Like, I don't know where they come from. Like, who's grading the pressure numbers? That's what I want to know. I'm going to do we got to do an investigative Senate subcommittee here. Like, who's doing that? How about my man Nick Saban on Pat McAfee the other day? Like, analytics doesn't tell you what to do when it doesn't work, right? Do you know how many guys I've talked to in the league that I ask them this question? What did your analytical guy tell you to do during the play? And he says, they freeze. They don't tell me anything. You know why? They don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong. They want to keep their job. They want to keep going. You know, it's like I'm listening to somebody the other day talking about how, you know, the game between the Titans and the Steelers was completely mismanaged because they ran the ball too much. How about trying to win the game? Does that matter? Does that matter? I mean, Mike McCarthy gets a beating about being the worst coach in the league. He's the worst play caller. What he's trying to do is play less defense. That's what he was trying to do. He's got a really good defense, and if he plays 27 minutes, he'll be good. The Patriots, on the other hand, have played 100 plays more than their offense. They play 33 minutes of defense a game, right? They would be a much better defense if they played 27.
Yeah. No, that's a complimentary football. It's something that we preach here on the Lombardi line. So it's we're trying to find the balance between those two things. And if you don't have it, sometimes you're behind the eight ball.
I would love people to call pass plays with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. I would love that. So, you know, I would love those guys in their basement that are just, you know, attacking the play callers. Like, you call plays with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. You know, well, you got to get a better quarterback. Okay, well, they're just out there. They're like almonds in California. You can just go to any field and pick them. Like, they're just available everywhere.
I want to ask you, we haven't gotten a chance to talk about the Thursday night game before we get to the line of the week. Like, how much of it do you think was the rib injury that was bothering Pickett there? Because, like, I get it. He's had his ups and downs for sure, but he was wildly inaccurate Thursday night. There was where it was too high, too low, too wide, yeah. Behind. Like it's just, I don't know if it was maybe the rib injury that bothered him or what was going on.
I don't think it was the rib because he's been wildly all season. Like, and he hasn't had the rib until last week. I don't know why he wears the glove. Like, I don't know why he wears the glove. You know, I thought he actually had better protection in the game than I anticipated him having. And they were actually running the football in that game better than I expected them to run. The last 3 weeks prior to going in that game, that's why it's so important, really, to throw out the records, to throw out the perceptions, and really look at what are teams being able to do. I mean, the Steelers, who really haven't been able to run the ball that well, did. I mean, Warren had 88 yards on 11 carries, and his long run was 22 yards. Meanwhile, nobody loves Najee Harris, who actually has pretty good numbers all year long, better than Warren in the passing game as well. He had another 69 yards, and he had a long of 25. So, like, the one thing I was counting on, if you bet Tennessee, you were counting on their run defense to be pretty good, and yet it wasn't. The Steelers were able to run for six more yards than they actually were able to throw the ball for. And so that's really what won the game. That was a difference in the game, and the fact that when Levis had to get into a third down game, which is always going to be a problem for young players, which makes Stroud, going back to that game, interesting, because they're 44% on third down for a rookie quarterback. That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. But when Levis gets into a third down game and he's got to throw the ball in rhythm and read it faster, it's just not quite there yet.
Yeah, Levis, he made some nice throws there, and I credit him. Like, your first road start in that environment on a short week, he hung in there, showed a lot of toughness in the pocket, and I mean, the arm strength, obviously, that jumps off the screen there. We all talked about that in the draft process, but it's the nuances that you just discussed here, like having to speed up when it's a third down game. That's where maybe he's a little bit further behind, to where, hey, maybe if he develops, maybe the Titans have something. But I guess encouraging signs through a couple games there for Will Levis at quarterback. Real quick, they don't go back to Tannehill, do they? They just play Levis the rest of the way.
I don't
right?
think they can. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't the reason they didn't win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually moving the ball better now than they ever have.
That's what I thought.
When they put Tannehill in there. And Tannehill, you know, let's be honest, he's liable to get hurt. You know, the problem you have in Tennessee is they're just not good enough defensively. They're not to the same level that they once were defensively, especially in the back end. Especially in the back end. You know, they lost Murphy Bunting in the game and they had to play younger players. So it's a challenge. I mean, look, they have missed on a lot of first round picks over the years, and they're kind of trying to get their roster back in place.
It was a nice showing out there for Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans, although in defeat, Pittsburgh, which maybe we should just be betting Pittsburgh to start the fourth quarter every single game, because fourth quarter comes around and they make the plays and they win the game. They won once again, now sitting at 5-3. All right, let's get to the line of the week. This one down by the Bayou, the Bears and the Saints.
You want any part of this line? Like, are you telling me that you're going to bet Derek Carr and lay 8.5? Are you going to do that?
Not a chance.
Are you going to take Matt Eberflus and that Chicago bet? You know, I hate Chicago. You know that. I mean, I really hate Chicago. Yes. You going to take Eberflus and 8.5 with poor Tyson Badgett? I mean, are you going to do that one?
Maybe.
Like, what side do you trust in this game? I mean, just blindly, if you made me say you got to take it, I'm taking the Bears.
Same.
Like I would like I. How are the Saints 8.5 points better than anybody?
No, I can't get there. Like I haven't bet it yet. I'm actually considering betting the Bears just because, like, you know my philosophy. Like, hey, like it's Derek Carr, Dennis Allen. if they're big favorites, I can't do it. I actually might go ahead and play the Bajent man off of maybe this being a buy low spot after what we saw Sunday night against our guy Brandon Staley. Like this is Chicago or pass.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way, I mean, but you're going to feel good taking Chicago?
Nope.
Are you?
Nope. You're not going to feel good. But sometimes you got to do it.
I mean, this is one of those you take it and you don't even turn the TV on. Like, like I'm not watching. Like, this might not be in one of my four windows. If I could arrange that. Like, I don't want to watch this.
I like that.
It might end up being the, you know what's going to happen? It'll be the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, shootout. You're watching red zone. They're going to keep going back. Let's take it to New Orleans where once again they're in the red zone. It's like, God, please, enough. Like, we don't need to have that. It's funny because that's my only gripe with the YouTube, the multi-view, is that they don't let you pick. It's not a customizable thing. That's all the variations.
Well, it is customizable if you go to... If you say, I want this game, and then you want it in a multi-view, and they give you a choice of other ones.
Yeah.
So you can pick your one. I mean, I'm okay on that.
Yeah. I guess they don't let you say, I want this in the left-hand corner, I want this in the right inside. It's kind of like a bunch of variations, which sometimes makes my head spin when I see all the combinations of the logos and all that stuff. It's like, all right, this is a little bit too much. But, hey, we love the YouTube multi-view. It's been a nice innovation here for our football viewing experience. But I agree with you, Bears or nothing. It's never Dennis Allen and Derek Carr laying 8.5. They have not proved that. Honestly, I wouldn't even tease this. Like, I know a lot of people are probably going to look at this as a teaser leg. I wouldn't tease this because I think Chicago could potentially win the game. Honestly,
I mean, you and your teasers, you're the best. You and your teasers, like, seriously.
Hey,
we do all this work all week long, and we're going to start teasing this and tease that and tease this. Teasing's for when you don't do any work.
It's a tool in the toolbox.
No, it's not. It's not. They call them teasers for a reason because the book wins.
Let's talk about some marquee matchups and potential MVP moments next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Sign up today and get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Next segment, our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, also the co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He will join us in studio for not one but two segments to break down his NFL and college football card. But we talked, Michael, about how this is a big weekend in college football, and rightfully so. A lot of good games with ranked teams. Now that the calendar has turned to November, we can start to kind of crystallize this national title picture, but it's also a big week in the NFL. And while college football has Heisman moments, maybe this weekend is an MVP moment for a lot of players in the NFL. I see, look at their smile. We got the heavy hitters playing against each other, starting in Germany with Tua and Mahomes. You get Burrow versus Allen. Jalen Hurts is in the mix going up against America's team in the late afternoon window. A lot of eyeballs will be on that game. I have $0 in the MVP market, contrary to popular belief. And I'm just curious to you, just based on how you see these games going this Sunday, who do you think would be a good bet to make in the MVP market before the games get underway?
I think Joe Burrow, 20-1. I mean, if they look as good as they did against the San Francisco team and he beats Buffalo at home, I mean, they've got a tough schedule ahead of them, right? I mean, it's not going to be a piece of cake. But just hypothetically say they go on the same run that they typically have gone on every single year after the bye week, and they end up with the number one seed. How is he not the MVP of the league? I mean, I just don't understand how Tua is the favorite. I really don't. I really don't. I mean, they have not beaten a team with a winning record since September of 2022. I mean, you know, if you want to make this award the best stat award, then go ahead. Just to call it the most statistically perfect quarterback you can. Lamar Jackson, to me, right now, is the MVP of the league. If he goes out there and he dominates against Seattle, and that's a sneaky game because I think a lot of people are taking Seattle in the six. You know, I'm not sure that that's right, but a lot of people are. You got to look at that. How about Tyreek Hill? Like, I just want this. Like, it would be really fun to watch. And I don't wish this on the Dolphin fans because their team's good and their defense is getting better. But you take Tyreek Hill off this team, and then let's have a conversation of how good that offense is. Like, it'll move the ball, but let's have a conversation about how good that offense is without him on the field. Let's talk about that for a while. Let's talk about how that offensive line, can it block well enough? Everybody's all excited about getting Armstead back because he went over to his plate in Germany, the left tackle. That's not what bothers Tua. Tua, and I put it in the Lombardi look ahead line. When Tua has a clean pocket, which I have said all along, he is dynamic. Number one in the league with 122 quarterback rating, clean pocket. When the pocket is dirty, when people are in the paint, he's the 27th ranked quarterback. Now, that's nothing. That's not his fault. That is God's fault because he's not very big and he doesn't have a powerful arm. So, you know, that's just a reality. I'm not saying it's the wrong, you know, but that's not what MVP characters do. Like, Hill makes everything go. Hill makes it all go. You make one mistake like J.C. Jackson made last week against New England, and you go and you don't jam the guy, or you kind of lackadaisically, you know, let him come off the line and run vertical, Tua's going to throw the ball to him and hit him. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be 5 yards past the defender. I mean, you've never seen a guy more open. The guy's going to set the receiving record over 2,000 yards. He might do it by week 15.
Yeah, and I think that's the case for Tyreek Hill, is if he were to go like get 2,300 receiving yards, 18 to 20 touchdowns, I think he would definitely get a lot of buzz. I mean, we're starting to hear that buzz already for Tyreek Hill. Like, a lot of people are saying, why can't he be the MVP? They're asking the same questions about A.J. Brown as well. It's like, why can't he be the MVP? I think this year, earlier than normal, we're getting the why does it have to be a quarterback that wins this award kind of conversation.
Right. Because why should it be? I mean, look, Tua's playing good. I'm not arguing that with anyone. But look, let's just take Mahomes, for example. OK, mm-hmm. Like everybody, Mahomes not having the same kind of year. All right. Let's talk about that for a moment. Right. He's got his lowest touchdown percentage of his career. He's got his highest interception percentage of his career. He's got his lowest success rate of his career, his lowest adjusted air yards of his career, his lowest per completion, 10.8 of his career, his lowest yards passing per game of his career, and his lowest QBR, okay? Those are all his lowest. 7 categories, he's in his lowest category. However, his on-target percentage is the best. His bad throw percentage is the best. His highest drop rate is the highest. He's been hit 35 times in 8 games, 56 all of last year. He's under pressure 23.7% of the time, highest in his career. 3 games this season have ranked in the bottom 10 of his worst games of his 88-game regular season career. He's not having a bad year. He ain't getting any help besides Kelsey. That's the story. If Hill decides to change teams before the game starts in Germany, I promise you, it'll change everything in that game. I mean, Kansas City will win by 2 touchdowns if just Hill sneaks into the Chiefs locker room and puts his old uniform on. Like, that's how valuable this guy is.
So let's play out the hypothetical here, because I haven't asked you who you think is going to win the game. I'm sure you're going to give your official picks coming up tomorrow with Stormy here. But like, let's say that Kansas City wins the game. That's what the betting market thinks. They're a short favorite. They have a 52% implied probability, 51% to win the game. Let's say the Chiefs win. I feel
when you quote those improv probability, I'm going to bring up that I lost the Giant game to Russo last week with your probability of 99.7% that they were going to win the game. Can we just throw that out the window, please? Can we get rid of implied probability? Like, where does this come from?
That was
like, where does that come from? I'm sitting on my couch. I'm watching the game. I see the 99.7. Okay, I beat Russo in another game. I'm going good. Oh, I lost. What happened to improv? What happened? Where's that 3%? Where did it go? I'll look for it all day today. Hey, I can't find it.
Nothing's ever 100.
Like, can we throw that out the window, please?
Nothing's ever 100, Michael. And that's what you experienced on Sunday.
Well, that's the problem. Do you remember the scene in the movie Zero Dark Thirty when James Gandolfini's character, he's playing the CIA director. He says, don't you guys ever have 100% certainty? Well, no, that's not what we deal in. Well, I mean, like, but the coach, the coach or the director, you got to be 100% certain. But the people giving you all the advice don't have to be. Like, come on, give me a break. Like, at some point, it just makes people that have no knowledge think they're smart. It's really what it is.
I mean, nothing. I mean, other than the sun coming up, I don't think anything else is 100% certain in life. But I think let's just play the game, though. If Kansas City wins, from an odds standpoint, and this doesn't have to mean that this is what the voters will ultimately do, because this is once again a voted on award, like it's a popularity contest. From an odds standpoint, isn't the winner of this game going to become a bigger favorite in this market? Like, they're going to go from 4-1 or plus 450 to now plus 150, because this is such a big game and it's with the two quote unquote co-favorites right now in the market. Like, I think that this is one of those situations where if you like a side, maybe you do bet the quarterback of that side to go ahead and win MVP.
You know, how do you not like Mahomes in this side? When he's a favorite by three or less, you know, he's 19-6-1. Yeah. I mean, when he's I think when you look at it, when he's on, like, I don't know how to handicap the travel. I get that, right? Mm-hmm. I get that. But, I mean, like, you know, he's played in 42 primetime games. I guess we would consider this a primetime game. He's 32-10 straight up. He's 24-17 against the spread. I mean, like, seriously, the problem with Mahomes is not Mahomes. Last week he had the flu. Throw that out there. Implied probability he had the flu, 100%, okay? But the reality of it is he's not have the flu. They'll come back. They got a week. I think Miami's defense is much better than it was earlier in the year, and especially with Ramsey back. Will Ramsey cover Kelsey? I think that's going to be the interesting question to think.
Yeah.
But this game is like, how do you play? How do you, if you're going to have to only give up less than a field goal, why not?
Yeah, and I think, too, like, the argument for Mahomes, if he wins this game, is that he has three, like, really marquee games left on the schedule, all of them at home against big-time opponents. He has Monday Night Football home against the Eagles. He has a late afternoon game against the Buffalo Bills at home, and then he has a late afternoon game week 17 against Joe Burrow and the Bengals at home as well. So, like, if you're kind of projecting forward or trying to figure out, like, all right, what are his chances of winning these games against these marquee, like, MVP candidates, maybe it is Mahomes, and it's the repeat winner.
Who has a better defense, Femi? Philadelphia or the Chiefs?
Ooh, Philadelphia or the Chiefs. I would say Kansas City better secondary, the Eagles better front. I would still lean Eagles just because I'm in the D-line.
The Eagles held them to 12 first downs in that game. 12 first downs, 12.
Yeah, that's not good. Chris Jones might be in the backfield quite a bit tomorrow morning. That'll be a fun one for you and Stormy to be watching that during the show tomorrow morning there. Over
you'll be watching
Frankfurt.
It too. You'll probably have four other games on too. You can, and then I want your implied probability sent to me during the day.
After every first down, we'll give you updates. Matt Eumanns joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on a college football Saturday. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino, where we are the official show of Implied Probability here on a Saturday.
Matt, you like that Implied Probability stat? I want to know. You like that stat?
Implied Probability.
They can take that stat and you know where they can put it, right? You know, like, seriously, oh, it's Implied Probability. This is going to, you know, if you go for it on fourth down, the Implied Probability is you're going to win. No. And then, of course, when you need them to tell you what to do next, they're nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found.
Well, that's where we're sitting here on a Saturday. Our buddy Matt Eumanns in studio with us, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out 9 to midnight Eastern. Also co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast with our buddy Tim Murray. Well, before we get into the college football slate, because you have a lot of plays and it's a heck of a card, also a fun card in the NFL on Sunday. We'll start off with the game late afternoon in the city of brotherly love, Cowboys Eagles, Philadelphia, a 3-point favorite, total 47.5. Where are you going here with this one?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys, a little reluctantly, but I'm going to do it. Cowboys +3. Dak Prescott 8-3 in his career against the Eagles, and a three-game win streak in that series. He's got 11 TDs and one interception. I do think the Cowboys need to prove a point here. And Dak and Dallas need to show they can win a big game. The last time they went out in a big game, they were embarrassed by the 49ers. And I also think they might be catching the Eagles at the right time here. Jalen Hurts is a little bit banged up. You've got some injuries on the defense. And, Michael, this is an Eagles defense that allowed 472 yards to the Commanders and Sam Howell a week ago.
Yeah, but the last 3 weeks before that game, they only allowed 46 first downs. Mm-hmm. So there's something about Washington that seems to have their number. Look, if Bradbury's going to line up on the outside corner, they're going to go after him. They're going to go after him, and I think you saw that McLaurin got him good. And that's an issue, right? You got to be at this game. We had Brian brought us on earlier, and this game's all about Dallas's offensive line. If they protect, you can make throws on this secondary. Yep. You can do it. You can do it from the slot. You can do it from the outside at the corner position. So I think that's going to be, to me, and I think you can make a case for either side in this game. That's why the line hasn't moved. But for me, I do worry about Hurts. He just doesn't move like he did, and he's not running as well as he has in the past.
Yeah, I see the same thing with Hurts. I've been talking about it for a few weeks. He just doesn't look right. He's banged up. He's got more turnovers, Femi, than he had all of last season.
Yeah, no, it's something looks off, but then you look at the box score and his stats and you see 300-something yards, four touchdowns and all that. So he's been playing through the injury, and it says something about the Eagles as well. To be able to win these games despite playing their best ball shows how talented that roster is. How about the early game in Germany? 6:30 West Coast time, 9:30 Eastern. Dolphins at the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Over at DraftKings, Kansas City, a 1.5-point favorite. Total 50, so we're expecting points overseas.
Well, I took the Dolphins +2. And again, I don't think these are great plays. I'm talking about the Cowboys +3, Dolphins +2. Just a little bit of an edge, and also trying to find contest plays. And I think this is a decent bet. Dolphins probably a better play on a teaser if you like teasers this week. But this Kansas City offense has not been explosive, really. 23.4 points a game. One of my keys to this game is going to be Vic Fangio. And I think he was a failed head coach in Denver, but he's an outstanding defensive coordinator, and he knows this Kansas City offense and how you need to defend Travis Kelce. I get so tired of watching the Chiefs week after week after week when Travis Kelce's wide open in the middle of the field. I got to think Vic Fangio is going to have a better game plan for that. Jalen Ramsey's back. That makes the Dolphins defense a little bit better. And also, you know, for what it's worth, the Dolphins went over to Germany early and this week, and the Chiefs went late. And I think the Chiefs, you know, you can kind of see in that Denver game last week, the Chiefs kind of looked like a tired football team, didn't have their A game. So I give the Dolphins just a little bit of an edge here.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, you hit the nail on the head. Mahomes is playing good. The guys around him just aren't. Yeah. I mean, he can't get anybody to really step up other than Kelce, and it's been a struggle. And I think the offensive line has struggled to really, as I said earlier in the show, he's been hit 35 times. And, you know, last year he was only hit 56. So it's a hard one for him. But I as soon as I say that, then I start thinking about Philly held Miami to 12 first downs. Mm-hmm. You know, they really did a good job of containing them in the game. And the front of Philly, inside pressure, when Tua has guys in his face, he ranks 27th in QBR. When he's got a clean pocket, he's number one. This Miami offensive line, I think, is going to have some issues whether they get Armstead back or not. The inside of the line has been problematic. Robert Hunt's been hurt. They put Wynn on IR. And so, like, to me, the inside, Chris Jones is going to be the problem at 6'7". He gets those arms up, too. Going to have a hard time throwing over him.
Yeah, Chris Jones is a tough guy to contain, man. He's actually a fun defensive lineman to watch because of the havoc he wreaks.
Yeah, it is up and down the offense or the line of scrimmage there, whether it's outside or on the interior. We're hanging out with Matt Eumanns here, host of VSiN Tonight, Monday through Friday. Check that out, 9 to midnight Eastern. Also, co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Last play before we get to the college football, Giants at the Raiders. Raiders right now, 2-point favorites across the board, total 37.5.
Still trying to figure out how the Giants lost last week.
So is Michael.
Probability was 99.7%, just so you know.
Chalks up as a win.
I've lost a few bets this year when the math model said you were 99.something% to win, and you lose and say, hey, well, the math model said I was 99%. So
you know what makes that loss so bad? We didn't talk about this, Femi, today. You know what, Matty, you know what makes that loss so bad is the fact that they signed Cade York off of Tennessee's practice squad to be their kicker this week. Like, they trotted Graham Gano out there and he was hurt. He was, nobody's like saying it. Like, why would you do that if he's hurt?
I don't know.
I'll say this for the analytical community. It's 99.7 they win if Graham Gano's healthy. But if he's not, what's the odds there? They'll get back to us in about 3 weeks on that. But the point is like, why would you do that?
I don't know why you would do that, and I don't know why you would have Tommy DeVito as your backup quarterback. I know he's your number three.
He's the backup this week, Matty.
Michael, he shouldn't even be in the league, okay? He's not a good enough quarterback to be in it. Last week, he's 2 for 7 for minus 1 yard. I watched him in college. I never for one moment thought the guy was an NFL quarterback. And Brian Daboll's got him as a backup quarterback. I mean, now the Giants are scoring 11.9 points per game. Think about that for a minute, how pathetic that is. So you can talk all you want about the Raiders and their, you know, new energy and everything. I do like the new coaching angle, at least for the first game. Usually that's a good bump. But part of this is the Giants are just so bad right now, too, that it's kind of tough to resist betting against the Giants as well.
All the time I would say on the show here, Matt, that if you're betting the Giants, you're one play away with Tyrod Taylor in the game. You're one play away from the Tommy DeVito era. And last week, I violated my own code and went with it. And when DeVito went in the game, I said, okay, I'm losing this game. But then I get so close to winning it in the Russo contest. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, like, why? But once it went to overtime, I was in full retreat mode. I knew that was a loss.
I had no chance in overtime because I couldn't get a first down.
Before we get to the college football, and I haven't even asked you this, Michael, like, shouldn't the Giants have deferred and just taken the win and try to get the stop before? Because, like, I think taking the ball there, you're like, DeVito's not going down the field 80 yards to score a touchdown.
No, you were going 3 and out no matter what you did. Yeah. I mean, you should have just probably tried to see if you get a stop and get Zach Wilson, you know, who everybody loves this week, Matt. I don't know if you've taken the Jets or the Chargers, but everybody's on the Jets at 3.5, and yet the money's coming in on the Chargers, but the line the money's coming in on the Jets. Everybody that I talk to loves the Jets because, you know, Zach Wilson hasn't thrown an interception in 170 passes. Well, they haven't let him throw it very much.
Yeah, I don't love the Jets. I don't think there's even a lot to like about the Jets. But if you're playing the Jets on Monday night, and I'm probably going to end up playing the Jets in some form or fashion, it's all about the Chargers.
Yeah,
as a team, you don't want to lay 3.5 points on the road with. You're talking about analytics. Brandon Staley is a poster child for that. And how many mistakes does Brandon Staley make in game management decisions, basic game management decisions every week? I'm not going to lay 3.5 on the road with Brandon Staley.
Yeah. He's got probability on his side, though, Matt. You got to give him that. He's got all that probability. That's why he does it.
Well, I give
he's got probability.
Michael, I give him 47% chance to cover this game at 3.5. How about that?
Even that might be high.
Before we go to college, when we come back, I want to know, are you going to play the Bears-Saints game? That's the game I want to know. Are you playing that
one? I teased the Saints down. I didn't tease the Saints. I'm not going to lay all the points, but you got to play them on a teaser.
I would be scared to even do that. I'd be scared to even tease the Saints. I don't know if I can get there with Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. All right, we will get to the college football on the other side. Matt Youmans is going to hang out with us as we wrap up the Lombardi Line here on a college football Saturday.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Sign up today and get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Ebefe, Michael Lombardi, Matt Youmans joining us here in studio.
Is it the final segment? What's the probability that it is the final segment? I'd like to know.
99.8%.
Yeah, 99.8.
There you go, Matt.
If JVT and Pam don't show up, we might have to go another segment.
So yeah, there you go. We can't go 100. It might not. I
mean, we can't go 100. Nothing is 100 except for the sun coming up. That's what we go with. But final segment here of the show, we believe, as we go through the college football slate here, and we'll go to the game that you're actually going to be in attendance for in Southern California, Washington against USC. Trojans 3-point home underdogs, total 77.5. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I think it's going to be a long game and it's going to be a lot of scoring. I would not want to bet the under here because the USC defense can't get stops. Pretty obvious. SC's allowed, you know, more than 40 points a game over the past five. But Washington is a team on wobbly legs right now. You're a four touchdown favorite back to back weeks and barely survive against Arizona State and Stanford. Something's not right. And I think, you know, we were talking about Jalen Hurts being banged up. Michael Penix, Washington quarterback's got some health issues as well. You can see it. He's just not the same quarterback and he's not moving around as well. I actually, you know, if USC were a favorite, you know, even a pick'em game, I probably wouldn't play this, but you flipped a favorite. USC, you know, a few weeks ago would have been favored in this matchup. And now a 3-point home dog. And Washington, I think, is vulnerable right now. And the Trojans, actually, Caleb Williams showed me something last week when they were down 14 in the fourth quarter, and he rallied the Trojans to win that game 50-49. Passed for 369 yards, two TDs. He didn't make any dumb mistakes like he had made in the previous couple games. No bad throws. And I do think there's a good chance SC is going to win this game. When we planned this trip to go to this game, we thought it was going to be a much bigger, you know, game. But SC has dropped a couple since then to Notre Dame and Utah. But still, Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams at home are 11-1 with that last second loss to Utah. I think a good chance USC wins this one tonight.
Wow. Hey, Matt. Okay, so Mike Palm's in Wrigley Field. Uh-huh. You know, it's funny. When they used to play in Wrigley Field back in the day, the end zones were so short that people would actually, the receivers would slip into the dugout. Yeah. It caused a lot of injuries. Gale Sayers played on the field. There was a ton of injuries back then, but I guess they straightened this out. But we've got Dabo going back to Wrigley Field for Notre Dame game, which should be a fun one at noon to watch another one. But you like Clemson, even though Clemson 4-4 really hasn't gotten it together, and Notre Dame seems like they've got their act together.
Well, Clemson's actually a home dog in this game. Today it's in Death Valley. Clemson's a 3-point home dog.
Oh, I thought it was in Wrigley Field. Who's playing in Wrigley Field?
That's Iowa Northwestern.
Oh, Iowa Northwestern. I'm sorry.
The total might be 13, I think, or maybe it's 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. The Hawkeyes and Purple Cats are playing at Wrigley Field. Mike Palm loves defensive football.
He does.
Bone-crushing defenses, and that's why he's there. Actually, he's there as part of a circus sports program.
Actually, Mike Palm, I'm looking at your sheet, Matty, because I print out all your everybody's picks every week. Mike Palm's best bet of the day, over in that game. He went over.
He went over in the Wrigley Field game. And, you know, there's a good chance you will see a special teams defensive score, something like that's going to push it over. I don't know. It's hard to argue either way. When the total is that low, doesn't take a whole lot to get over it, even though the Jets and Giants would have no chance to get over that total. As far as the Clemson game, Dabo Sweeney's got his back to the wall. He's at home today. And I think this is kind of the role where he's at his best. Now, Will Shipley's star running back is out. I was hoping he was going to play today. The number's ticked up to 3.5. So I actually just took the 3.5. I was waiting to see if he was going to play. He's out. But Notre Dame's also missing its top pass catcher. This is one of those spots where the Irish go on the road for an early morning game against a desperate team that's 4-4 and still got a pretty good defense. I think the Clemson defense can keep it in this game, and I'll take the points with the home dog. I think, you know, when you're looking at like Clemson and USC as home dogs, you can't just dismiss those teams. I really think that they're still going to show up and fight. And I like both those home dogs.
Yeah, maybe a last stand for both of those teams. Proud programs there, especially Clemson with what they've been able to do over the last 15 years.
How Clemson's about, got the defense, unlike USC.
If there's one thing Clemson knows, is defensive line. Kansas State and Texas, though, this game has seen a lot of movement toward the Wildcats as a road dog. Right now, we're down to 3.5 at Circa, where we're sitting, which 3. Total is at 50. What do you like in this K-State and Texas game?
Well, last week I went to the BYU-Texas game in Austin, and Malik Murphy, the redshirt freshman quarterback, got to start with Quinn Ewers out. And, you know, I wanted to watch Malik Murphy closely. And, Michael, what I saw was a young quarterback who's got poor mechanics, poor footwork. He was sloppy. He was throwing off his back foot, fading away, lobbing ill-advised passes into double coverage. All right, you can get away with that stuff against BYU, a defense that ranks in the 90s. You're not going to get away with that against K-State and Chris Klieman's defense. And K-State's off back-to-back 41-0 and 41-3 wins. This team's hot right now. I think they've figured out the quarterback situation, and the Wildcats should be live dogs to win this game against Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to take K-State against Texas because I just think they'll out-tough them. I just really think that Kansas State's just tougher than Texas, you know, and they find ways to do it. But your pick of the week is you're going to take the Cowboys of Oklahoma State and the 6 points. What are they getting, six points against Oklahoma?
Yeah, I did take the Cowboys, and I can't believe Mike Gundy has turned this team around. If you watched Oklahoma State at the end of September, you never would have thought that this Oklahoma State team could reel off 4 straight wins in the Big 12. Well, it could be 5 today. And the key is Gundy stopped rotating quarterbacks, and he settled on Alan Bowman, the transfer from Texas Tech and Michigan. And he's also found a running back, Ollie Gordon. Ollie Gordon had 19 total carries in the first 3 games. He's had 5 straight 100-yard rushing games, almost 1,000 yards total on the ground in that period. He looks like a combination of Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas. All right, that's a stretch, Vinny.
I was going to say, hold on.
But he's putting up those kind of numbers. And Oklahoma State's also playing pretty well defensively, so it's a different team. This is also going to be an electric atmosphere in Stillwater today, because it's going to be the last Bedlam rivalry game for the foreseeable future with Oklahoma going to the SEC. There's been a lot of trash talk to both sides, but I do think the Cowboys come in here with a lot more swagger because they've been playing at a high level, and they're catching an Oklahoma team that's really not playing at a high level right now on offense or defense. So I think the Cowboys will be catching Oklahoma at the right time.
They're live to win this game, the final Bedlam game, which I think is just a travesty for college football. Like, what are we doing? How about Between the Hedges? We know our producer, Elliot, will be paying attention to this one. 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. Mizzou catching 15 over at DraftKings against Georgia, total 55.5.
Yeah, I got a small bet on Missouri here, 15.5. And, you know, Brady Cook's one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the SEC. He's got 15 touchdown passes, 3 picks. He's got a big-time wide receiver, stud running back. There's a lot to like about Missouri. The problem with why it's only a small bet for me is it seems like every time I try to go against Georgia, I lose. I think that, Georgia's hadn't played a tough schedule yet. They still got to, you know, face some challenges, and shouldn't be laying this big of a number. And then Georgia goes out and blows somebody's doors off. But Missouri, if you remember a year ago, Georgia was a big favorite. I think a 24-point favorite went to Columbia and was life and death to beat Missouri on the road. And I don't think that was a fluke. This Missouri team is legit. So I'm taking a 15.5, but it's not my biggest bet today.
How about the Jimbo Fisher-Lane Kiffin matchup today, LSU-Mississippi? Texas A&M-Mississippi. Who do you like in that one?
Well, the situation, I think, is a little bit better for A&M. But I just don't like Jimbo Fisher. I don't like to bet on Jimbo Fisher, and I'm not going to do it, Michael. No matter what you say, I'm not going to bet on Jimbo Fisher today. So that's it.
That's Michael's favorite coach, Jimbo Fisher, over there at Swaggy.
Well, you know, we just got to execute better. We're just going to have to execute better. You know, I love his post-game press conferences when he goes over the play-by-play. And, like, he just goes over it, and, like, it's just, okay, we got to execute better. We just got to execute. You know, we had a play there. God was open. We didn't throw the ball. Like, at some point, man.
It's never the coaching. It's never the coaching.
No, it's never the coaching. You know, we get a punt block. Oh, you know, we just got to execute. You know, the wing didn't handle that, you know?
Yeah.
Matt, when do you start making cuts in the cut? When do we get elimination in the contest?
This week, the survivor element of the Circuit Friday Football Invitational kicks in this week. The last place contestant gets cut each week for 8 straight weeks now.
Who needs a big week this week to stay in it? Who needs
Chuck, the Iceman Edel, and Stanford Steve of ESPN.
Ooh. All right.
Oh, boy.
A couple heavy hitters hitting on
the
ropes.
Great work, Matt. Enjoy California.
Thank you. You bet.
Awesome. That does it for us here on the Lombardi
Line. Where's the fast food stop, Matt, that we're hitting on the way there?
In-N-Out, baby. We'll see you guys tomorrow. JV Team and Pam Maldonado up next with Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.